At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
We're up to segment number 4 of our continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head there now.
Do you recall if he mentioned anything regarding Tammy going through menopause?
Yes, he stated that she liked to sleep on the edge of the bed with her legs outside of the covers because she was having hot flashes. And when he talked to you about her getting sick in the night, did he indicate who had gone in the bathroom with her? He did say that him and Garth both witnessed her throwing up. And talking about the lividity, do you recall if you observed it anywhere else on her body besides her back? It was only in her backside, so which indicates she was on her back at the time of her death. Did Chad tell you anything regarding how Tammy had been feeling in the month before her death? Yes, that she was just feeling very off, behind, slower, and the fainting spells. And she did have a fall outside and hurt her wrist. She did get an x-ray on that just to make sure it wasn't broken, and stated that it was just a sprain and the doctor had given her tramadol. And when I looked for the tramadol, he stated that she had taken it all, which there was no pill bottle found on scene.
Do you recall him also making a statement that she feels like she's outside her body?
Yes.
And did he tell you that she'd indicated that to him, him being Chad?
Yes.
When you respond to the unattended deaths, do you have the benefit of having the decedent's medical records in front of you?
I don't.
And when you respond to the scene, is it ultimately up to you to determine a cause of death?
Yes.
And do you also, are you tasked with determining the manner of death at that time?
Yes.
Were you relying... Actually, I will back up. Judge, if I can publish 295G again.
You may.
In looking at this photo, do you notice anything with regard to the mattress?
It's a little off the box springs.
Do you recall if Chad told you anything as to why it was off the box springs?
No.
And at this point in time, did you move the mattress yourself?
No.
This would have been an accurate depiction of how the mattress was?
Yes.
When you were doing your observation of Tammy, did you... Actually, I'm going to publish 295A, please. During your observations and exam of Tammy, did you notice any head injuries?
No.
Did you notice any cuts or bruising consistent with her hitting her head on a nightstand?
No.
As the coroner, is it ultimately up to you to determine whether or not an autopsy should be conducted?
Yes, I consult with our detectives, and sometimes I consult with the receiving facility, the mortician, the funeral directors.
And did you do that in this case?
Yes, I did.
Based on what you knew in your observations, was anything suspicious to you regarding this scene at the time?
No.
Did you find anything suspicious as to the description of Tammy's body falling out of bed?
Yes.
What was that?
I asked Chad how she could fall out of bed if she was already deceased, and how her legs were still wrapped in the covers and the sheets. That's what he stated.
His response was that it was because her legs were wrapped in the sheet?
No, he had told me that her legs were wrapped in the sheet, that her head had fallen off the side of the bed, and her left side of the body was hanging off. And I asked how that could happen if she was already deceased.
Did Chad provide a response or an answer?
He did. He said he must have pulled the top sheet when he rolled over in his sleep, releasing her because she liked to sleep on the edge of the bed.
And when you responded, did you notice any signs of rigor mortis?
Yes.
And what is rigor mortis?
After the body has been dead for approximately two to six hours, then rigor mortis starts to set in and the body just becomes stiff.
And were you able to estimate or determine a time of death?
I estimated the time of death between 12:30 a.m. and 2 o'clock a.m. Based on the rigor mortis and the lividity and the temperature of her body. The abdomen was cold to the touch, which is the last place that stays warm, and it was cold to the touch when I arrived.
Would you, based on your estimation of the time of death, do you think it's probable that Tammy didn't die until after 5:30 a.m.?
No.
At the time that you're making a determination whether or not to have an autopsy conducted, are you considering the information available to you?
Yes.
And your observations on scene?
Yes.
And ultimately, in this case, you determined to not have an autopsy conducted. Is that correct?
After consulting with the detective over the phone and Officer Greenhall and Deputy Coroner Wilmore.
Did Chad request an autopsy?
No.
Did he make any indication to you regarding the autopsy?
No.
Do you issue a death certificate? Or, excuse me, do you issue death certificates?
I sign off on them.
So you sign off on them to be submitted to the state?
Yes, on the cause of death, yes.
Did Did you, in fact, do that on a death certificate for Tamara Daybell?
Yes.
Do you recall what you indicated the cause of death to be?
Cause was pulmonary edema due to syncopal episodes with seizure-like activity, and the manner natural.
And again, that was based in, excuse me, let me back up. Was that based in large part on information Chad Daybell provided you?
Yes, and also a daughter gave me some medical history background on her.
And do you know if an autopsy was ultimately performed on Tamara Daybell?
Yes, it was.
Do you know if there was an exhumation?
Yes.
Did you, in fact, attend the exhumation?
Yes.
Did you also attend the autopsy?
Yes.
Do you know who conducted the autopsy?
A medical examiner from the Utah morgue.
And you didn't, and you did attend that?
Yes.
And, Your Honor, I'm just looking at the time. I'm not sure when the court wanted to break.
I think it would be a good point if you're still working through direct.
I still have some additional questions, so.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. We'll take a second break here. That'll be the last break of the day. We do have something for the jurors, so this will probably be 40 minutes or so.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, if we can have the witness brought back and also the jurors brought in, please. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on CR 221624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallo. Ms. Blake is continuing direct examination of the witness, Brenda Dye. I'll remind the witness you're still under oath for your testimony. Ms. Blake, if you'd like to continue to inquire at this time, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. Dye, I was going to back up just a little bit. When you responded out, you said, and I just want to clarify with you, did you mention syncopal episodes or did Chad?
Chad mentioned it, the temple instance.
And again, what are syncopal episodes?
Fainting.
And did Chad use the term fainting to describe it?
Yes.
And then the medical terminology that you know would be syncopal?
Yes.
But he did not talk about the shaking fits until you mentioned seizure-like activity?
Yes, correct.
And, Your Honor, I'm going to ask to publish 295J. It's previously admitted.
Very well. You may publish it.
And in this photo, we can see that pink sputum that you'd talked about. And again, just kind of backing up, you said that it had seemed odd to you that someone deceased would have fallen out of the bed, and you discussed that with Chad, correct?
Yes.
Based on his description to you, again, which part of the body did he describe as having fallen out of bed?
Her head and upper left side of her body.
And when you look at this photo and you can see some stuff draining down her face, would that be consistent with someone being on their back?
Yes.
If she had actually fallen out of bed, would you have expected to see that dripping somewhere else or the flow going a different direction?
Yes. It is a little bit to the left. Just depending on how her head was tilted is what direction it would flow.
Is what direction it would flow. Yes. So depending on how she'd fallen out of bed, that would control the flow.
Yes.
But would this flow be consistent with someone laying on their back as well?
It looks to be more to the left than running down mid chin.
And again, on that photo, that was the condition that the sputum and the flow was in at the time you arrived?
Yes.
And you did indicate Chad said he had been wiping it. Do you know if he'd wiped it prior to your arrival?
Yes, because when I grabbed the towel, it had residue on it, the blood.
So you're unaware if this was the condition that Chad first found her in? As far as blood in the sputum was?
Yes, unaware of that.
And we talked about that you attended an autopsy that was performed at the office of the Utah Medical Examiner, or performed by them.
Yes.
Were you able to be present for the duration of the autopsy?
Yes.
Does the medical examiner do a much more extensive exam of the body than you were able to do on scene?
Yes, much more extensive.
Do you know if the medical examiner had more information from external sources than you had at the time you responded?
Yes.
And I'll object, Your Honor, that the only way she can answer that is through hearsay.
If you give me just a second. At this point, I'll overrule that objection.
And I think you'd already answered that. The answer was yes?
Yes.
Do you know what the findings of the medical examiner were?
Yes.
What did they find the manner of death to be?
Asphyxiation, suffocation.
And was that the cause or the manner?
That was the cause.
Do you know what they determined the manner to be?
Manner was homicide.
So they determined the manner to be homicide?
Yes.
And the cause to be asphyxiation?
Yes.
Do you have any reason to refute the findings of that autopsy?
No.
And at the time you responded out on October 19th, had you ever heard the name Lori Vallow?
No.
Had you heard the name Tylee Ryan?
No.
Had you heard the name J.J. Vallow?
No.
Had you heard the name Alex Cox?
No.
Had you heard any connection that those individuals may have to Chad Daybell?
No.
I'll object, Your Honor. This witness does not know that.
My question was if she was aware of any connection they had to Chad Daybell.
Yeah, that's overruled.
When you are conducting your assessment or evaluation at an unattended death, do you consider external information?
Yes.
If it's available to you?
Yes.
If you had had the information available to the medical examiner, do you believe that that would have changed your opinion at the time?
I'll object, Your Honor. Speculation.
I'll sustain that objection.
If I can have just a moment.
You may.
Ms. Dye, based on the information that you learned from the medical examiner and attending the autopsy, do you intend to modify the death certificate in this case?
Yes.
And what would you be changing the death certificate for Tamara Daybell to reflect?
Cause of death, asphyxiation, the manner of death, homicide.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Cross-examination.
So, have you changed the death certificate yet for Tamara Daybell?
No.
Is there a reason why?
Pending investigation or
So it's still being investigated?
Pending trial.
So what's going to change here at trial for the death certificate? Are you waiting to see if it's true?
No, it will be changed.
Okay. So there's no reason to change the death certificate after the trial. You're just waiting to see what happens.
When I spoke with Vital Statistics, they told me that it's pending until I change it.
Okay. So, and so a lot of things have changed for you and your opinion since October 19th of 2019. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And did the time of death change?
No.
You had initially estimated time of death between 12:30 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. Is that right?
Yes.
And so did that change?
No.
Okay. And you initially estimated cause of death to be natural. Is that right?
Not cause. The cause initially? Or
yes, initially.
Initially, the cause was pulmonary edema.
And what does that mean?
It means the lungs, edema in the lungs, which causes the blood-tinged sputum to come out.
Okay. So from what you observed on October 19th, 2019, that has changed now due to someone else's opinion, right?
After the autopsy, yes, it's changed.
Okay. And did that also change because of what detectives were telling you? Or was that strictly a change because of the medical opinion?
Because of the medical examiner, who is a doctor who performed the autopsy.
Okay. So you were considering doing an autopsy on October 19th, is that right?
We had discussed it, yes.
And you had discussed it with your deputy and the officer on scene, is that right?
Correct, yes.
And did you also discuss it with Chad Daybell?
Yes, I did mention it to him that there may be an autopsy.
And what was his response?
He didn't deem it necessary at that time. I told him if we felt it necessary, we would do an autopsy.
How about Chad Daybell's, Tamara Daybell's children, were they there also?
Yes.
And did they want an autopsy conducted?
Emma, the daughter, was very adamant about not having an autopsy done.
And did that make sense to you as to why she was adamant about that?
Yes.
Okay. And what about another child?
Garth was also on scene. He did not voice his opinion.
Okay. So Chad and Emma, Chad and Tammy's daughter, asked you, please don't do an autopsy.
They didn't deem it necessary. Emma was against it because of the extent of, she didn't want that done to her mom.
Okay. And so it, is it fair to say that you believed Chad's version of events of what happened to Tammy Dayville?
On scene at that time, yes, after discussing with Deputy Coroner and Officer Greenhall.
Chad Dayville convinced you and your deputy and the officer that nothing bad happened. Is that right?
Concluding our investigation, that's what we ultimately decided.
Okay. All right, thank you. I don't have anything else.
All right, thank you, Mr. Archibald. Any redirect?
No further questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Can the witness be released from subpoena?
We would request that she be released.
Any objection? All right, that'll conclude your testimony. Thank you. Yes, bailiff will help escort you out of the courtroom. State can call its next witness.
Your Honor, the state will be calling Spencer Cook.
Okay. Now that the witness has been sworn, let me just inquire, have you viewed or listened to or read any of the trial testimony in this case since the trial started?
No, I have not.
All right, thank you for that. I'll remind you to please make verbal responses to any questions that you're asked so we can keep a clear record and try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you as well. With that in mind, Ms. Rawlings, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon. Would you please state your name and spell your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Spencer Cook, S-P-E-N-C-E-R-C-O-O-K.
And where are you currently employed?
I am employed for the Sugar-Salem School District.
What are some of your job duties with the Sugar-Salem School District?
I am the technology director for the school district, so I am in charge of all the computers, servers, and website, email, student information system.
Great. I think you mentioned as part of your duties that you help maintain the school district email.
Yes, I do.
And what is the email system that the school district uses?
We use Gmail or Google Suite.
Are the emails stored somewhere to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, they are stored in two different places, the mailbox that the user has access to and then an archives email that only my team has access to.
Okay. So that's how emails are stored in that system?
It is stored in Google Cloud, yes.
Okay. Were you working for the school district in April 2021?
Yes, I was.
Were you contacted by someone with the Fremont County Sheriff's Office regarding the email for Tammy Dayville?
Yes, I was.
And to your knowledge, was Tammy Dayville an employee of the Sugar-Salem School District?
She was a employee at the Sugar-Salem School District.
All right. And do you know what she did?
She was the librarian at the elementary school and also the computer lab teacher.
Okay. And so what type of email did Tammy have with the school district?
All employees are given a school district email, and it has access year-round, and it was an employee account, basically.
Okay. What time period did law enforcement request that you look at for Tammy's email?
It was June 29th.
And do you recall how many emails Tammy received for the week of June 29th, 2019?
She received 36 emails.
Do you know if of those 36 emails, did Tammy save any emails?
There were several that were deleted off of her account. I think there were six emails that were saved.
Okay. And you mentioned that the employees of the school district have access to their email all year round?
Correct.
And are they expected to check in over the summer?
Yeah, we expect or try to have emails checked on a weekly basis during the summertime.
Okay. How active would you say Tammy was with the school email over the summer?
I would say she's active.
And how computer literate was Tammy to your knowledge?
Very literate in what she did. She was very self-sufficient. As the computer teacher, I provided resources and help to her for different classes that she was teaching. But most of the things that she did on her own. And so after I gave her initial direction, she took it on her own and was able to do things with very minimal help.
Were you able to find any emails from a Charles Vallow to a Tammy's work email?
Yes, there was one email that was received.
How did you search for that email?
Well, in the archive system, I found the email there when we searched for under her account. It was not in her inbox. It was in her deleted items.
Okay. How would a Gmail user block an email address?
If you open up the email, there's three dots in the top right, and you would click on block email.
Okay. Do you know whether that happened with the Charles Vallow email address?
Yes, it was.
How did you find out that Tammy's work email had blocked Charles Vallow's email address?
Inside of the account, you can go to the blocked email address list, and that was the only email that was listed as a blocked.
And do you recall the date that email was sent?
I believe it was June 29th.
In the year?
2019.
Thank you. And how many emails did Charles send to Tammy's work email?
Just the one email.
Okay. And I think you mentioned, were there any other email addresses that had been blocked from Tammy's email?
There were no other emails that were blocked. And if there was an email, it would have been rejected.
Okay. I don't believe I have any other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Rawlings. Any cross-examination?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. That'll conclude your testimony then, Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
You can be excused. Is he under subpoena, and can he be released if so?
Yes, we would ask that he be released.
Any objection?
No objection.
Okay. You can be released from your subpoena. Thank you for your testimony. State can call its next witness.
The state will be calling Kelsey Harris.
And Your Honor, Spencer Ramel for the state with this witness.
Okay. Thank you. Now that the witness is sworn, let me just inquire, have you observed, read, or listened to any of this trial testimony in this case since the case started?
No, I have not.
All right, thank you for that. While you're being questioned, please speak into the microphone, use verbal responses to any questions, and try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you so we keep a clear record. With that in mind, Mr. Ramel, if you'd like to inquire, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Ms. Harris. Can I have you state your full name, spell your last name, for the record, please.
Kelsey Marie Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S.
Ms. Harris, did you know Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And how did you know her?
She was a student in my clogging class in Sugar City. She also worked at the school. I work in the kitchen, and she was the librarian.
Okay. Ms. Harris, so we're in Ada County, so can you explain to the jurors, please, where Sugar City is located in relation to Rexburg and St. Anthony?
So Sugar City is in the middle between Rexburg and Fremont County, just right in the middle there.
And do you recall the time frame of when Tammy was a student in that class?
It was end of August, early September, and then until the time of her death,
okay,
middle of October.
Do you recall the year?
2019.
And how long was the duration of a single class?
It was a 60-minute class.
Okay, and I think you've testified to this, but what kind of class was it?
A clogging dance class.
Okay. So forgive my ignorance if it's okay. So Ms. Harris, I think I have an idea. So clogging, I guess I'll ask it this way. River dance, closer to river dance or closer to singing in the rain?
It is closer to river dance.
Okay. I think that clarifies in my mind. Thank you. So fair to describe it as fast-paced cardio?
Yes.
Okay. And as the instructor of that class, are you in front of the class watching and giving instruction?
Yes, I am.
And in your observations, did Tammy ever fall behind from the rest of the group?
No.
Did she ever sit out or quit early due to exhaustion?
No.
Her pace and participation was consistent with the rest of the group?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and Ms. Harris, you're not a medical doctor, correct?
Correct.
But from your observations of her participation, did it appear to you that Tammy had any physical ailments that impacted her ability to participate in your clogging class?
No.
Ms. Harris, are you aware when Tammy Daybell died?
Yes.
Was she attending your class in the weeks leading up to her death?
Yes.
I'm going to draw your attention specifically to the classes before her death. Anything that stood out or changed in those classes and the way that she participated compared to dates that were earlier?
No.
Ms. Harris, did you ever attend any other physical fitness classes with Tammy?
Yes, I did one class.
And what class was that?
It was a high fitness class.
And do you recall the date of that class?
I would say late September.
Same year, 2019?
Same year, yes.
And were you the instructor of that class?
No, I was not.
And where was that class located?
That was located in St. Anthony. Fremont County.
Okay. And did you sit next to and work out next to Ms. Daybell in that class?
Yes.
Can you describe that class to the jury, please?
That class is very high intensity. We're doing squats, we're jumping jacks, burpees, a lot of up and down.
Fair to say it's a different level of cardio than your clogging class?
Yes.
And Tammy, from your observations, was able to keep up in that class?
Yes.
In that higher intensity class, did you see any limitations in her ability to participate?
No.
And Ms. Harris, from your perspective and your observations in both your clogging class and this high fitness class, did Tammy seem to be fit and in good health to you?
Yes.
Judge, that's all I have.
All right, thank you, Mr. Rammel. Any cross-examination?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Harris, that'll conclude your testimony for today. Thank you for appearing. The bailiff will help escort you from the courtroom. If she's under subpoena, can she be released?
Yes, we would request that she be released.
All right, from the defense, any objection to the release of the witness?
No. No objection.
Okay, thank you. State can call its next witness.
The state will be calling Shanna Miller. Before we get started with testimony, let me just inquire, Ms. Miller, have you observed any of the trial testimony, either read it or heard it or observed it in any of the viewing locations since the trial started?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. While you're being questioned, please make verbal responses and try to avoid talking at the same time as anyone questioning you so we keep a clear record. Also, talk directly into that microphone if you would.
All right.
And with that, Ms. Rawlings, you can conduct your direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Shanna Miller, S-H-A-N-N-A-M-I-L-L-E-R.
Thank you. Where were you previously employed?
Sugar Salem School District.
And did you know Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
How did you know her?
I was on the committee that interviewed Tammy and then hired her. I also worked with her. She was hired as our computer specialist and our librarian.
Did you know her outside of work?
Yes. I also took a high fitness class with her and her daughter twice a week.
And in the weeks prior to Tammy's death, how did she appear to you?
Very healthy. She was in great shape.
Did you have occasion to notice Tammy's weight or appearance?
She looked healthy. She looked, like I said, in shape. She looked happy.
So there weren't any noticeable changes to her?
No.
Did you have an opportunity to observe her participation at that high fitness class?
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit more about what that class involves, what kinds of things you do?
Sure. It's a Zumba. It was a Zumba class with some high fit activities involved. So we did, there was Latin dancing, planks. We would plank, we would do push-ups, burpees, lots of squats, jumping jacks. It was very highly aerobic.
Okay, thank you. How would you describe her participation and overall fitness in that class?
Great. At the time, yeah. She and her daughter Emma had been coming for about a year. And at first, you know, like everybody, it's a high fitness class, and so you kind of have to get in shape. But during the course of that time, She was in great shape.
And this class extended, you mentioned, for a year. Can you just give us a time frame for that?
Yes. So let's see. I believe she did start coming the fall that she first got employed or not long after that. And then she continued going throughout that year. And then I think that summer also, she was the summer previous to that fall, she was training with Emma to do a 5K.
Okay. And so that would have been what you're saying. It sounds like maybe fall 2018 through fall 2019.
Yes, that is correct.
And on the day before Tammy died, did you have an opportunity to interact with her?
Yes, she was the computer, right? The computer teacher and also the librarian. But that day she did lunch count when you take your kids to lunch, she would mark them off as they came through the lunch line. And so I did see her that day.
Okay, and how did she appear to you?
As always, she was happy, jovial. As the kids would come through the lunch line, she would smile at them, pay them compliments.
Did you observe her coughing?
No.
Did she complain about being sick?
No.
And you're aware that the next day that she passed away, correct?
Yes.
Was there anything else about the timing of her death that you found odd?
Friday I see her at school. Things are great. And the next morning I hear that she's passed.
Was there anything about the funeral details that struck you?
Yes.
What was that?
I'm going to object to relevance.
Overruled.
We all wanted to honor Tammy.
I'm objecting to this is about her experience, not everyone else.
I will sustain that. If you could just rephrase the question, Ms. Rawlings, right. Please.
The people in that community, sorry, I don't know how else to say it, but they wanted to honor her.
Hold on. I've sustained an objection, so we just need to have a new question now.
So we're talking about your personal observations and what struck you and what you observed. What struck you about the funeral details? What did you observe?
Okay. There was going to be no funeral. Okay. And the people at my school wanted to honor her. And the people in that community wanted to honor her. And so my administrator talked to Chad and said we would like to do something.
I'll object, Your Honor, to hearsay.
That is sustained as a hearsay objection, so I'm sorry you can't say what someone else told you.
Okay, sorry. So anyway, my principal planned it. He printed off the programs. He basically put it together.
Okay. And now, are you aware, this was, I think you're talking about in the Sugar Salem area?
Yes.
So this was a memorial service for Tammy in that area?
Yes.
And, I'm sorry, who helped plan that and put the programs together?
My school administrator.
Okay. And then do you know if there was a funeral anywhere else?
There was one in Utah, in our hometown.
Okay. I don't believe I have any other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Rawlings. Any cross-examination?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Miller, that'll conclude your testimony. Thank you for appearing today. May she be released from any subpoena?
Yes, Your Honor. May she be released?
Yes. Any objection to that?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So you're released from your subpoena. The bailiff will help you leave the courtroom.
And, Your Honor, the state would request a sidebar with the court.
Very well. Okay, we're back on the record after that sidebar. We were discussing scheduling. The state went through a lot of witnesses in a short amount of time, and given the time frame we had set out for today, we are going to go ahead and conclude for the day at this time. And so we'll be back Monday at 8:30 for continuing trial while we break for the weekend. I do want to, again, please admonish the jury that you're not allowed to talk about the case with each other, with anyone else. Please don't do anything to investigate the case, to look the case up, try to avoid any media coverage of the case, or any other conduct that could impair your ability to be fair and impartial in this case. The court and the parties appreciate your continued attendance and adherence to that admonishment. With that, then we will break for the weekend, and we will be back at 8:30 on Monday.
All right, please.
That wraps up segment number 4 in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the 28th of April, 2023. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuous coverage, commentary, and more. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Hey, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Jillian.
We've been making the True Crime Obsessed podcast for almost 9 years now.
Yeah, each week on TCO, we tell a riveting true crime story by recapping a documentary about the case.
With nearly 400 million downloads and over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, we can say with confidence that if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now might be the time to give us a try.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about and also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
Find True Crime Obsessed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.